We're just greeting. We're just greeting. I sat with the precious man of God last night at my table, breaking bread, sharing what the Lord has done, sharing testimony. Today, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, will be a manifestation of what I've been praying and seeking God for. Have our Spanish service. Amen. Today. On the third day. See, I spoke about it 2 years ago. 2 years, I'm going to have a Spanish service. I go, Baya, are you ready? Baya. No, I ain't Baya. Mama, you ready? No, it ain't mama. Nana, you ready? No, it ain't Nana either. And I thought, God, you're going to prepare me. Okay, let's go get, you know, hooked on phonics and get on Spanish. Spanish for dummies, and the dummies still didn't get it. Ooh, that's perfect. But now watch this. The perfect timing of God brings to manifestation what had been hidden deep down that we couldn't even see any progression until an individual walked in going through the brokenness of his own life. And God says, now it's time. I'll let him share his own testimony. And if you want to hear, you can be here at 4 o'clock today. But when I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, I didn't go to bed until after. Get up at 3 o'clock, I said, Lord, I need some sleep. He says, walk around your house, son. Claim your territory. Claim your territory. For the enemy try to devour your land and try to devour your house. Claim your territory. Claim your territory. Walk around. I walked around in my kitchen. I walked around in my living room. I walked around in the front dining room area. I said, Lord, this is all mine. And what the enemy is trying to come in and steal, he's not taking it. It's mine. It's mine. You gave it to me. And the only way I'm going to lose it is if I give it away. So I started getting in that presence of God at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, hair all messed up. I got to the point I was crying so hard, I had to put my face in the pillow so that I wouldn't wake anybody else up. Lord! And I felt the breakthrough come through. He says, what you're doing is shredding off your old gray clothes. You're removing it through your brokenness. You're removing it as I've been cleansing you. I've been washing you. I've been getting all that dirt off of you. For now is the season of your harvest. You shall come forth and spring forth like fresh fruit. Woo! I don't know about you. I don't know how you sit down. If you understood what is taking place right now in the Spirit of God, you would be celebrating what God is doing for His people of God. Don't be saying now, oh, I'm just hanging on. I'm just hanging on. How are you hanging on in a new year? You got to let go and start reaching for the new. You got to let go of the old stuff, David. Let it all go. Grab hold of the new. Grab hold of the new. You got some old stuff in the trunk. Time to deposit it. Let it go. Now God wants to give you. you fresh and new. The old wineskin. Let it go. Let him give you the new wineskin to make room for the new wine. Come on, sir. That's it, sir. That's it. That's it. That's it right there. See, some of y'all got to get an understanding. You got to let go of some of that old stuff that you've been holding on to. You got to get rid of it. We had a cleansing here on New Year's Eve, and we got some people that let some stuff go. And not only did they let it go, they got ready for the new beginning. They got ready then. They weren't waiting for anything else. They were ready for it then. You got to let it all go. Let it go. Woo! Hallelujah! All right, look at here, look at here. Watch this, watch this, watch this. I'm still just trying to greet you. All I'm trying to do is just to speak to you. But see, when the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to lock in and to engage, because you've been in neutral too long. You've been rubbing the gas like you're going to go somewhere. But unless you engage, all you're going to be doing is just wasting the gas. See, the enemy in 2015 had you in neutral right at the end in the last quarter. And you kept revving the engine. And all you were doing is just, oh my God. You were making the oil become sludge. He says, but now in 2016, it's time for you to put that thing in overdrive. Because I'm getting ready to accelerate things in your life. God. Oh, he just likes to get all that kind of hype going on. If it's all about me, baby, then it's just for me. It's all right. Because you don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the times that I've been crying. Lord, how are we going to keep the doors open? How are we going to keep the church going? Lord, I don't know how. He says, son, keep your eyes on me. Don't look at the checkbook. Don't look at the seats. Keep your eyes on me. Because I'm about ready to put that thing into overdrive. And it's going to overtake you. Your blessing is going to overtake you. And it's going to run and chase you down. We've been going through some stuff. That was it. I'm going to try to take your life. I'm going to try to take your life. I'm going to try to make you abort everything. You're going to try to call it quits. This is all you want to do. Lift up your hands. Say, God, I trust you. I trust you. It don't matter what it's going to look like in 2016. I trust you. Because you're about to accelerate me into my prophetic destiny. Woo! Greater. Greater, greater. It will intensify in your life. The fire will not be snuffed out. He will continue to fan the flame, to give oxygen to purpose. He will continue to tell you the things you should do and allow you to make the decisions what you shouldn't do. He's going to continue to fan the flame. The wells that have been clogged, that have been stopped up by the enemy, he is unclogging. What should have been released to you in 2015 is about to come with interest. Because what was held up from the servant of God in this season, in this desert. What was once dry and arid will be full. That it'll begin from the hills and it will fill the lowest plains. You're going to begin to look, where did it come from? And it's just showing up. Where did it come from? And it just showed up. Where is this coming from? And it's just showing up. What you make happen for me, God is making happen for you. Stand up, Priscilla. You've been through a season that has been nothing but tornadic, like tornadoes, twisters. That's had your head spinning in different directions, not knowing what to do, which way to turn and which way to go. The wind has come, and it's made you lose your bearings. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What's about to happen? But here's what I hear the Spirit of God saying. He's going to call the storm. Peace. Be still. Your spirit will be at peace. That precious baby of yours, she's coming home. She's coming home. I'm going to remove that influence in her life once and for all. But she's coming home. She's just tired of the windfalls that are always going on around her. There's some clarity coming into your family, into your household. And that baby that is standing right in front of you, right there underneath your hands. Beloved, watch and see that what God has in store for him will always be cared for and taken care of. The greatest love is what you're asking God. Continue to show the love to him. Let him not go through what I go through. Let him not experience what I've experienced. He will be kept. Be taken care of. Beloved, be at peace and know that I'm doing a great and mighty work in your life. Stay connected. Stay connected. Don't go by every wind that comes in and say, oh, go this way, go that way. Stay connected. Because there's going to be a change and a shift in your personal life that you'll find peace and security once again. Once again. Amen. Woo! Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Woo! Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. It's a jazzy kind of. Yeah, you hear it, hear it? To the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. We're going to get on with our message. And be obedient to the Lord. Hold on. Triton, get up here. Joshua, get up here. Michael, get up here. Eric, get up here. Stand right here. You're not facing them, you're facing me. When I looked up just a minute ago and I saw you, then immediately I saw Josh right in front of you. Then I saw my son Michael. Then I saw Eric. Y'all were all lined up in a straight line. And I heard the Spirit of God say at that very moment, the enemy came to try to sift you, sift you, sift you, sift you. Try to take you out. He came and messed with your mind, he messed with your heart, and he messed with the most important thing, your faith. But one thing I do know is when God says that these men will be at your side, there's a reason for it. You might as well stand right here with that guitar as you play. I saw it. I'm going to just say it like I see it. You can hide behind it because there's where you're comfortable. And when he tries to take you to get you to experience more, it's uncomfortable. It says, what I've given to you, I've given to you more tools and more gifting than you know. And I want to expound on that. I want to go ahead and I want to give you more of it. But the enemy has tried to come in and take you guys out. So when I saw it, I said, Lord, what am I to do? He says, impart to them on this day that the resurrection power of God that resides will continue in your life. It'll break off things once and for all. Once and for all. It'll break it off once and for all. It'll break it off once and for all. Once and for all. The mindsets, the heartaches. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Father, right now we break every chain off of his life right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Every chain. Father, in the precious name of the Lord. Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you, God, for the mindset being renewed. I thank you for the mindset being renewed. That the old wineskin is removed, Father. I thank you, God, as I impart right now the newness. I impart to him right now, Father God, the things that you have given unto him right now in the precious name of the Lord. Father, I just release to him right now, Father God, the fire of Almighty God, the fire that will not be snuffed out, the fire that will continually intensify in his life. Father, I just thank you for the man of God. I thank you, God, that he is a child of God. But I thank you, God, what you have given him, Father God, is a zeal and a fire to fall after you, Father God, to seek after you, not after man, not after gifts, but after you. He loves you, Heavenly Father. He loves you. He cries out to you. I don't want to just have an experience. I want to have an encounter. And God, what I imparted to him, Father God, is a spirit of worship, Father God. The heart of worship, God. The deep inside that he will not be about acts. It will not be about displaying anything but other than pure worship unto you. Father, I thank you for drawing them closer, Lord. And I thank you for the impartation, oh God, to the prophetic unctions of God. I thank you that his eyes are open, his ears are open for the understanding. Father, I thank you for revelation knowledge right now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I impart unto him as a son of this house, Father God. I thank you that you keep him, Father God. I thank you that the hedge of protection is around him. And Father, that every word that he steps, Father God, becomes holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. That when he walks into the darkness, Father God, where the friends come near him, Father God, they will understand that there is power that resides inside of him. Power that resides inside of him that will change the circumstance. And the one that is getting sideways, the one that is being taken away, God, you will begin to speak the word of the Lord, and there will be a change, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, God, for the fire that will come out of his mouth, Lord. The fire. He's a preacher. He's a preacher. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you right now as I impart unto him, Father God, the knowledge that comes from you, the wisdom that comes from you, God. And I thank you that the heart, Father God, be renewed, molded, Father God. Take this vessel, God. Take this vessel and remold him, Father God, into what you see fit for him, Father God. He may feel that he's inadequate. He may feel that he has cracks, Father God. But you're going to remold him. You're going to put him into the vessel that you called him to be. You're going to make change in his life. The understanding, oh God, I thank you for him, Father. I thank you right now that the spirit man, God, is just renewed, Father God. Renewed. A fresh fire, God. A fresh wind to blow upon him, God. That the old stuff is wiped away and the new has come forth, God. The new has come forth. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. in Jesus' mighty name. I hear the Spirit of God saying, I am correcting the eyes. I am correcting the eyes in the vision in which you see. Understanding is key. Understanding is key. Retention, says the Spirit of God. I'm making what is crooked straight. And I'm removing the stony heart. The wounds that have caused you to be callous. All your heartaches and disappointments. I remove it now, says the Spirit of God. But I impart unto you that of a prophet of God. You will have the understanding, not just in my word, but of my presence. The passion and the desire in your heart, you will fall after. You will follow it, you will follow it, you will follow it, says the Spirit of God. Oh yeah, he's got you, Dad. He's got you. Oh yeah, he's got you. You're going to understand what I've got for you is greater, says the Spirit of God. You will have understanding. And every word that came against you, every word that wounded you and hurt you is uprooted now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the men of God. I thank you for the son and what you call them. I thank you, God, that no longer will he hide, but you're calling him to the forefront, that he will stand before many, him and his precious wife, and take people beyond the veil for the ministry in which you have spoken to them, God. This will be that very thing that you have shown him in his dreams, showed him in his vision, that you will take him beyond those levels, Father God, that he thinks in his mind, that the chords and the lyrics that will come and out of his mouth shall come forth prophetic unctions, prophetic declarations in the songs. Don't look at it and how am I going to sound. Look at it as me just opening my mouth and I will speak through you, says the Spirit of God. And you will have prophetic utterances go forth that people begin to say, I heard the Lord say this, that I have ascended angels unto you. As they ascend and descend, they will begin to minister with you. As you strum the chords, new beginnings will take place in the atmosphere. There will be chords that will begin to do great and mighty works in the atmosphere. That all of a sudden now, people that had a hardship, people that had chains on them, will be broken. He says, but I'm going to call you to come forth and begin to speak when you open your mouth. As I release unto you and impart unto you the prophetic gifting of God, you will begin to see that I'm stirring up that very gift that's inside of you. I want to play prophetically, but you need to speak prophetically, says the Spirit of God. Know this, beloved, I'm stirring the very gift that's inside of you already. And you will begin to see it begin to move in greater levels and be displayed before many. As you stand on the very stage and begin to strum your guitar, many people are going to begin to say, I see the angel. I see the angel that is standing behind him. There is an anointing on him like that of Roy Fields. Like Roy Fields. I see you standing there. You started off doing music, but then you're going to begin to do things differently. You begin to speak things. You begin to teach people. You begin to preach some things. And you begin to see that God says, what's deep down inside of you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, your daddy should have been preaching, but he didn't. Your daddy should have been doing the things of the Lord, but it skipped. And now there's a double mantle on you with a double portion. And now you will go forth and plow the way. When Aiden got in that water, by choice, he says, your lineage will become a dynasty for you. He will be a young man with insight. That's why the Lord told you to guard him and protect him. Because you'll be an instrument in the last days. That not only will the prophetic words come forth, but signs and wonders out of his hand shall come forth. You are plowing the way for your lineage. What your daddy didn't do, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It was only laid up for you. And you will carry it. And you will lead many to the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many. Y'all will travel. And you will usher people in with such a prophetic move like never before. I see more people coming into your living room, singing and recording. They're going to start to gather with you. And they're going to begin to say, I've got this song. And you're going to begin to draw it out of them. Don't look in this house, because you got people just coming from everywhere. And you will impart unto them. You will teach them. It's like you're going to have a session where it's just spontaneous, but it will be recorded. And I see people sitting around, and they're beginning to sing, and some of them have instruments. And the whole atmosphere in that house is going to change. Because you will be at that very place that God says, here is where I called you to be. Is to usher people into my glory. Into my glory. Many are going to come into your house and say, the Lord sent me here. The Lord sent me here. And that you have something from me. So much impartation from you guys is going to be displayed. You're going to release so much. So much. So much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Woo! Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the house of manna. Are y'all ready to sow your seed? You ready to sow your seed? My God. See, I try to prepare and get things ready. And then you get the daughter of the house comes up, and she went to town. Sure, you went to town, girl. You did. Not only did she say it, no, she told it. And that stirred. And the Lord began to speak. We could have went, okay, wave your offering. Hallelujah. So the Lord wanted to speak. He wanted to do some things. Those young men that you saw standing up here need you to continue to pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. Well, Pastor, you already prayed for them. Pray for them. I pray for y'all all the time. Pray for them. The enemy wants to try to take them out. Pray for them. Some of you are like, well, I should have been up there too, because he always wants to take me out. Pray. Just pray. Amen. And lay hands on myself. Get your offering envelope. Come on, come on. We're going to get on to the service. I promise I'll get you out of here early. Get you out of here early. All right. Hallelujah. Father, in the precious name of our Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your decree and your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit that came forth and had his very way. We thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that the third person of the Trinity, Father. We thank you. Holy Spirit, you have your way. As they give today, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit moves about in their homes, moves about in their finances, moves about in their body. And whatever is there, Father God, blocking them from receiving, Lord, we thank you've already worked it out. Open up the window of heaven, Father, and pour out such a blessing. There's not enough room to contain it. Lord, your word says some 30, some 60, and some 100. Lord, I prophesy 100-fold back into their life. Lord, from the time that is sown, from the pens, from the cards, from photography, instrument playing, Father, for even being just an armor bearer, Lord, I thank you that you bless them beyond their imagination. I thank you, God, even for the widow's mite. You bless them, Father, greater in abundance, Lord, in their life, for their faithfulness unto you, God, and their service unto you, because they love you. As they give their seed today, Father, I thank you they come with a cheerful heart and they release it knowing that this is that very seed that brings about the harvest. So, Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. You may come and serve the Lord. Greet your neighbor on your way down. I promise you I'm going to get you out of here early. I promise. Amen. Come in and serve and we'll get back and we'll get you into this word. As you're getting your coffee, your donuts, and your drinks, go ahead, take your time, but make your way back to your seats as soon as you get your donuts with you or whatever you got, okay? I got something that I want to share with you that the Lord put in my heart, and I don't want to keep you too long. I promise it won't be long. I said, I promise. He didn't. The Lord began to speak to me concerning where we're at as the body of Christ. He said that we're going to see the fruit of our labor. That it'll be blessed. The fruit of your toil will be blessed. And he began to share even more when I began to ask more. Remember, I was talking about going to HEB, and I was going to go make a soup for my wife when she was sick. And, well, I started getting rebuked as I was seeing some of the vegetables and the fruit and stuff. And I know that the Lord was showing me something, and I was like, well, God, I want you to speak to me. Where are we as the body of Christ? And when I got up this morning, I was praying, and I really try to go back to sleep. And it's funny, it's like my alarm goes off at 6 so I can make sure I'm here early. And right before 6 o'clock, I fall asleep. And then my alarm goes off. I got to run upstairs before it wakes up Inez, right? So go upstairs and turn it off. But it was good because the Lord began to speak to me about My seed. You can't have fruit or vegetables without seed. And seed, the little seed, just the little seed. It starts off small. You don't see that what's in that seed is bigger than what it is. And I was like, Lord, this is a blessing right here. I got seed, God. I got seed. Well, he spoke to me. He says, your seed is fruitful, plentiful, and ready for harvest. I'm going to repeat it again. Your seed is fruitful, plentiful, and ready for harvest. So I wrote that down real quick. And my, I had my phone. I put it on my phone this morning when I got up. I said, okay, Lord, speak to me. So then he gave me Zechariah. So turn with me to Zechariah 4:10. Zechariah 4:10. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. Zechariah 4:10. I'm begin reading verse 8. Back it up a little bit to verse 8. Zechariah 4, verse 8 through 10. And when you're there, say amen. All right, I'm begin reading here out of the Message Bible. It says in verse 8, after that, the word of God came to me, Zerubbabel, started rebuilding this temple, and he will complete it. That will be your confirmation that God of the angel of armies sent me to you. Does anyone dare despise the day of small beginnings? They'll change their tune when they see Zerubbabel setting the last stone in place. Going back to the vision, the messenger angel said, the seven lamps are the eyes of God probing the dark corners of the world like searchlights. So when I read that, I said, Lord, I'm not going to despise the small beginnings. Small beginnings. Well, just to kind of give you back at the inception of this particular ministry, we started in a hotel room. I said, I want to take the whole banquet room. Seats, I think they said 50 people. But I'm going to leave the back area with the classroom tables there. And then I want them to have coffee, donuts, and juice. But leave these back tables. I don't know why I was telling them to leave the back tables, because I was going to fill that whole room with 5 people. That's what we started with, 5. So then we had the tables back there, and then individuals would come in, and they wouldn't come to the front. They would sit at those tables, and they would tour the back. Okay. Sylvia and B, will you stand up, please? Do you see when they were once in the back, now they're at the front? Thank you. Thank you. Maybe see. So I said, I'm not going to despise the small beginnings, huh, God? Okay. But it really didn't shift, watch this, in our ministry until we got pushed out of that room because we were double booked. And they put us into that real small room where we used to put the kids. Remember that? And it was a small room. A small room. Yeah, well, probably where Jason, raise your hand. Okay, where Jason is to right here is the room. And I'm standing right here in front of the front row. Like this. You know, when I get a chance to preach, you know, Well, I don't know about you, but do y'all know when you first get a shofar? You know what the shofar is, a ram's horn? And you haven't cleaned it? And you blow it? There's a stench that filled the room. And when you're in a small room, no ventilation, it smelled bad. Do it again. Yeah. So in that small room, we're all in there, but someone got healed of cancer in that room. God began to move in that small room. That after that service, we got out of there with that remnant smell. That I said, I can't do this no more. We need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. Remember that little drawing or thing that we did for the thermometer? Remember that? We're going to take up offerings so we can get out of here. We can get our own building. The small beginnings. See, some things are going to make you uncomfortable. They're going to smell nasty. But in the middle of that, I'm going to display more of my glory in it. Do not despise the small beginnings. Because in the end, you're going to look at it and say, wow, look at what I've done. I said, I think I know where you're going with this, God. What are the analogies that I always use? Food. I'm glad you know me. You like my wife's Puerto Rican rice? Don't. You know, I don't despise the small beginnings. When my wife cooks, I love my wife when she cooks. I mean, I love her all the time, but I love her all the time, you know, but when she cooks, it's special because it's for me. Now, when she makes her Puerto Rican rice, I know when my wife's in the kitchen. is a mess. Nana, you're going to have to help me with this because your daughter's looking at me like, if we weren't in this room right now. When we cook, we clean as we go. When my wife cooks, why y'all laughing? You know she's in the kitchen before you even get in the kitchen. So she starts making her rice. I know the ingredients that go in. Now, Michael, how many times you see me make Puerto Rican rice? Zero. Because every time I go and try, don't even try it. You don't even know what to do. So it's like I get kicked out of my own kitchen. So she starts opening up the rice. She keeps pouring more rice. I'm like, this is just for us. There's only four of us in the house. And I thought that this pan that she was bringing out was, you know, like to give the dogs a bath. It's big. It takes up the whole stove. You see? Okay. So now I want you to think about this. Do not despise the small beginning. So as she's in there, I know she's making a mess in there because she just, when she has tomatoes over here, she's got like six knives over here. Hannah, how many knives does your mom use? All of them. One for the onion, one for the tomato, one for the chili, one for whatever, one for in case you go and touch the pot. So there's a whole mess going on, but how many of you know that when God does something in your life, it starts out messy? No? Doesn't it start off messy? You know it starts off messy. Oh, you got that smirk like, oh, where's he going with this? It starts off messy. Because, you see, when God created the heavens and the earth was full of chaos. And then the Holy Spirit was just hovering, brooding over it. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to fix things. I'm going to put things together. Right? So things start off messy when God starts something. So when I know my wife is cooking, I know exactly what she's making when she's making it. I know the smell. I know it's going to be good. But if I turn around that corner and I look at the kitchen, I'm like, Lord, I got to clean all of that. Oh, I love you, Lord. I'm going to wash 16 knives. But you see, at the end, it's always better than the beginning. Now, rice is so little, and she put so much in there. I think, that's just too much. And we finished the whole thing. The whole thing. See, when you make rice like on a little skillet. My mom used to make rice like that in a skillet. I tried doing that one time for the family. I said, who's that for? The kids? She said, this is a pot. That's like a car. But you see, when God starts something off in our life, it's usually messy. How many of you know the story about Sarah and Abraham? He spoke to Sarah and Abraham that, the seed will be like numerous. You can't even count on like the stars. Sarai was like, whatever. You see how old he is? Messy. And it gets so messy that she even messes it up even more by telling Abraham, well, since you're getting older, you ain't like you used to be, honey. She tells Abraham, just go with Hagar. So she makes it messier. Makes it messier. How many times when we're trying to prepare something that God says, oh, I'm going to speak something into your life in the form of a seed, but you're going to make it messy by adding things yourself to it. And then you're going to start switching some things up thinking it's going to become better for you. it got real messy when Sarah added Hagar in the mix. And Hagar's like, I didn't ask for this, but thank you. Come on, be real. You don't need to be real. Because she knows what was spoken. She knows what the promise was, and she got grafted into it. She got in the mix just because Sarai, made it messy and involved somebody else. How many times has God given you a seed, a word, and you involve others? Get it all twisted. Don't even make me go old school now. Key Sweat up in here. Some of y'all are like, who that? He one of the disciples? He way back there. Hold on. We're going to have some fun here. We ain't going to be going in a new season like this. Oh, Pastor going to whoop us. I ain't whooping nobody. I've been whooped so bad. Lord, help me. I made a mess out of it. But I know when I make a mess, you know how to fix things. Amen. See, the small beginnings sometimes get messy. You're trying to do something and it's messy. But I know in the end, that Puerto Rican rice with the sofrito in there, Lord Jesus. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost already. Did you feel that resurrection power just come up? You see, it gets messy in the beginning. You know how messy it is? You see, she turns that heat up on that pot. I'm talking about the rice now. Get back to the rice. Not Sarai. Okay. Pastor Inez. She turned that fire up so high. She don't put all that water in there. And then she puts her tomatoes in there. And she starts boiling that thing. I assume that looks good. And I see all this water. And I look in my kitchen like, we got to go through this every time you make rice. Bronny said, that's too much job for me. We got tomato sauce everywhere. The cat came running through the kitchen. Tomato sauce on the cat like that, on the back, everything. And, you know, our stove is white. So when it's done, it's all red and dark and black. I said, Lord, why God be like that? But then when it's all done, oh, baby, you make the best rice, baby. Thank you. I'll clean it all up. Don't worry. I got you. Go lay down. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is good. He don't bless me today with this rice. Lord Jesus. Woo! Baby, you need me to massage your feet, baby? I miss you. See, because in the beginning, it don't look like much. But then in the end, it's better than the beginning. You see, we have a tendency to get some things messed up and make it more messy. But sometimes it's just part of the plan. It's just part of the plan. So when he's saying, look, wait, hold on. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. They'll change their tune when they see Zerubbabel setting the last stone in place. What's he talking about? The rebuilding of the temple. See, I used to be in construction and used to do this for a hotel, and we used to do construction and we'd have to remodel, or sometimes we had to build new. You see, when you first get out to the property, it looks good. Beautiful trees everywhere. Everywhere trees. But before you can build something on it, you got to go and knock it down. And then, Lord, you got to destroy the foundation. You see, what was once nice and lush and plush has to be turned over, digged up, moved aside. And every now and then there's some big old rocks in there, and you got to get bigger equipment to come in. And as you're removing those stones, you're removing more of the dirt with it to make room for the foundation to be set. You see, in the building process, it don't look like much. If you ask a builder, what are you building? He can tell you, I'm building a house. But if he don't take you and show you without you seeing the blueprints, you're never going to understand what it's going to look like. You see, so many things that we do in the very beginning look like, this ain't nothing. This is nothing. This ain't going to amount up to nothing, God. God, this can't be you. Full, 100 seats full. The next week, 25. And the next 10. And then 15. Then maybe 20. And then back down to maybe 12. He says, son, why don't you just quit looking at the small beginnings? I have a bigger picture and plan for you. So God, but it don't look like. He goes, it doesn't ever look like it's finished product in the process of building. How many of you, okay, see, I'm just talking about just going different analogies. I went from Puerto Rican rice to building a structure. Okay, how many of you like guacamole? See, you know, guacamole. It's got that big old seed in it. A big old seed. Lord, gee, a big old seed. See, sometimes in order to get to that, you got to cut that thing. But you can't cut it straight in half because there's something blocking it from going all the way through. So you got to go all the way around it. And then once you separate it, you got to get that sharp edge and you got to get it out. You see, some things in our life, in order to be processed, there's going to be some cutting away. There's going to be some cutting away. Did you hear me? Some things are going to be cut away, and you're not going to understand it until the finished process. Do you understand? Some things are going to be cut. Some things are going to be sifted. Some things are going to be removed. Some people will be removed out of your life. Oh, I'm talking about guacamole. Hold up. Guacamole. All right. It's like the same process that we go through in our walk with God. You see, we want to get the grandiose. Oh, give me that 3,000-seat auditorium, God. Yeah. And give me all the latest technology. People come in, and we can just scan their barcode and check them in, God, you know. And if they want, they can go to the kiosk, and they can give their tithes there. And nobody can, they don't have to see them go to the front. You know, they can just give their tithes. God, just big. I mean, big. God says, okay, you want it? Go to the hotel. Start off small. Yeah, start off small. I got ministry in me. You know, because we all look, because we know what's inside of us, right? No, we don't. Y'all are like, yeah. No, you don't. Because you don't realize that what's inside of you are some of the things that are keeping you from getting there. No? See, there's some things that we've got to go through in the process to get rid of some things so that we can become fruitful. In order for us to be fruitful, we've got to rid some things. We got to get rid of some things. See, during the process of rebuilding, there are some people that may want to come and distract you. They might want to come. Hey, come on down to the place of, oh, no. Hey. Come on, sir. You better come on down here to the place of, oh, no. Why don't you meet me over here? And, oh, no. There's a reason why it's called, oh, no. Oh, no, you didn't. Because I'm in the building. I'm building right now. You don't see that I got this sword right here, do you? You know, and just it's January. They already passed the open carry. It ain't loaded, but you ain't got to know that. You ain't going to tell me to stop building when God told me to build. See, distractions are going to come. But if you give in to the distraction, then you're never going to finish what God told you to finish. And then you're going to blame him. Oh, well, God sent it to me, so I've got to go down and see what they want. The enemy wants to take you out. Somebody else said, oh, the enemy. Oh, Jesus beat the enemy already. I'm talking about you, the enemy. We're the worst one. Because, oh, I heard the Lord say to do this. Oh, no, he said to do this instead. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, he said to do this. We are so confused about if it's God, me, the devil. Stop. If he said to do it, do it. But if distraction comes, that's how you know you're doing what you're supposed to do. Don't stop. Keep doing it. There's going to be some distractions. It's going to come in. But don't go down to that valley of, oh, no. So I went to Amos 1 through 2. Amos 1 through 2. Watch this. I want to read out of the Message Bible. Watch this. My master, God, showed me this vision, a bowl of fresh fruit. He says, what do you see, Amos? He said, I see a bowl of fresh, ripe fruit. You would think, wow, that's good. That's good. Watch what God says. God said, right. So I'm calling it quits with my people Israel. I'm no longer acting as if everything is just fine. Isn't that crazy? I see a bowl of fresh fruit. Ripe. He says, yes, you saw right. Good job. You saw right. Your vision is correct. Absolutely right. You didn't miss the mark at all. You are so accurate with your gift. And you would think, yeah, God, I got it. I'm calling it quits on my people. Right? It's just like one of those dogs when you do something, the dog's like, huh? What do you mean, God? Here's the thing. We go around as Christians and displaying our fruit. What fruit are you really displaying? So when I read that, I said, Lord, I know that's judgment. That is judgment. I don't want judgment. I've been through enough this past year. I don't want judgment. How many of you like going through something when God is trying to get you to promotion? Huh? How many of you like going through stuff? Huh? You like going through stuff, man? You like going through stuff? Especially when God gave you a good word, right? God gave you a good word. Oh, you know what? You're going to be successful in everything you do, man. You're going to be successful. And then everything starts going kind of crazy. Have you experienced that? I hate it. But then in that process, you're like, wait a minute. You said I was going to do great exploits in your name, and signs and wonders are going to follow. And the only sign I see is closed. Out of business. No vacancies. You see what I mean? We start seeing all these other signs, and it's like it's going the opposite way. And God said, wait a minute. I've got to show you some things about you. There's some stuff that you're preparing for, but you didn't take into account that the enemy also comes in. See, how many of you have gardens? Okay, we got one. Okay, well, that's not a good analogy to use, so we don't use that one. One by herself. I do. Everybody else like, I go to HEB, baby. See, that's it. They pick it for me. They grow it for me. They water for me. They do everything. I ain't got to worry about it. My wife told me, she said, I want a garden. I don't know nothing about gardening. I know how to eat, but I don't know how to garden. I know about flowers, plants. I don't know about a garden. So what I do, I go and Google it. I get on Google and I say, how do you build a garden? is a whole bunch of work. I said, that's a little bit too much for me. For just a couple little fruit, vegetables. I said, no, I ain't going to go through all that kind of work like that. So I saw in there that you got to use chicken wire. I said, I ain't got chicken wire. It ain't no chicken coop. Put on chicken wire. What about chicken wire? I want my garden to look free and fresh. So if you don't put that chicken wire, you're going to have all these kind of pests come in. Rabbits, deer, squirrels. You see, we've got to prep for what we don't see yet. Just because you got the seed in your hand doesn't mean that ain't nothing going to try to come and take it. Then you put it in the ground, you think it's safe. And you don't see nothing come around while the seed is in the ground. But the first fruit that comes out, oh, you better start watching now. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because when the first fruit comes up, now comes the devourer. They're going to miss this. Man. Did y'all didn't get no coffee back there? When the first fruit comes up, now comes the pestilence and comes all those critters that want to take the fruit. See, at first when you put the seed in the ground, you don't see it. All you see is all this mud, watering mud. Just watering mud. So then you get real sly and you get one of those containers that have that little sprinkle thing. It's still mud. But if you don't add any nutrients to that mud, it's just mud. So you got to add nutrients, right? Okay, it's just like the same thing with us. As we're growing in God, we're expecting the fruits of God to come forth. We're going to be so fruitful in 2016. But if you don't add no nutrients, which is the word, into the soil, which is your heart and into your soul, you're not going to produce fruit. Oh, prophecy is that we're going to see manifestation in 2016. Are you in the house of God? Are you being faithful with your tithe? Did it get quiet in here? See, there's some process that we got to do. There's some things we got to do. Then you got to prepare because did you plant any of those weeds in there when you were planting those? Well, how come the weeds come up with that? Wait a minute, but I didn't put no seeds in there of weeds. I put seeds in there of fruit. I put seeds in there of tomatoes, some chili peppers. You know, I had my serranos to come out, some chili piquins, because my mama going to make me some hot sauce, and I'm going to have good hot sauce. But I didn't plant these weeds. Who put these weeds in there? Who put those weeds in there? That devil did. I hate that devil. The devil. When did the devil do it? Oh, come on now. Say it again, sister. Huh? When I wasn't looking, when I wasn't on guard, when I wasn't on point, when I wasn't praying and I wasn't worshiping, when I wasn't in church, he put some stuff in you that you didn't know was there. So now all of a sudden the fruit starts to come forth. Woo-wee! Sucky now. So the fruit is now starting to come forth. You better get ready. There's all kinds of hell. It's coming your way. Start producing fruit. Watch what comes. You have to start fighting. No, with your spouse. Stop it. You have to start fighting against the thing that is trying to eat your fruit. What eats at the fruit? Rejection, bitterness, anger. Say it again, sir. Unforgiveness. And then unforgiveness. I think that unforgiveness has more fruit than anything else. Hallelujah. See, because we carry it with us all the time. Well, that's my protection. That's my chicken wire. That's my chicken wire. It's going to keep all the other pests out. Because I've been hurt before, I'm going to protect my fruit with unforgiveness. So you don't get in the delicate place.
crazy? So what God is saying, watch this. I was in Amos, right? I was in Amos. So he said, Marty, read down, read down. Keep reading. Quit just taking a little bit and keep reading the whole thing.
Okay, God.
So I went to Amos 9:13. Amos 9:13 through 15, New King James Version. Watch this. For surely I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. Who say the calamity shall not overtake nor comfort us? You see, when I read that, God's saying, you've been through so much stuff. You want to produce so much fruit, but you don't want to be sifted. You don't want to get rid of the weeds. You don't want to get rid of the stuff that's deep down inside that the enemy placed throughout your seasons of your life, out the course of your walk in God. Have you been let down? Have you been hurt? Have you let it go? Well, yeah, I did. I went through that whole cleansing. How do you know you really let it go? Because when you, the same person that you have unforgiveness towards, and they come in your space, because he'll send them, God will send them. God will send them. God, not the enemy. Because all of a sudden, I bind that devil. Look what the enemy's trying to take me back. No, that's God telling you, learn to get over it. Learn to get over it. Well, I can't forget. I can't forget what you did to me. You ain't forgiven. You haven't forgiven. All you're doing is holding something because you don't want them to hurt your fruit. I'm delicate. You see, the seed that's inside of us is going to produce fruit. But along with the good fruit of God comes the fruit that you've had over the course of your life that's been sown into your soil. So when adversity comes, guess what fruit usually shows up first? Emotional past. Not the fruit of God. And somebody else can say, but I do. I forgive all the time. I just don't forget. You haven't forgiven. You know how you forgive? Jesus said 7 times 7. Daily. Daily? And then in the morning I got to do it again? Yeah. And but what if they again? You see, we the church got it like, Lord, we got to forgive them again. But they're doing the same thing over and over. We got to forgive them again. But they just did it again in a different way, and I got to forgive them again. But they keep changing the way they're doing things, but they're still doing the same thing. They're hurting me. I do it again. Move out the way. Just move out the way. Move on with your life. So that this way, when they try to hurt you, you're more focused on what God has told you to do. Okay, this y'all ain't going to like this one. Yeah, like this one. I can only tell you what God has told me. I can only share with you my experiences. I can preach to you something that I've read. But if I've lived it, you'll receive it as seed. Amen. As impartation. Knowledge can be taught. But revelation can only be caught. Impartation can only be caught. You see, when I go through some things, I tell God, you show me. Show me about me. Me. Because I can only deal with me. Some of us say, show me about my spouse. Show me how to make my wife a better person. No? Okay, God, show me how to make my husband be a man of God. Lord, I need you to show me how I need to correct my kids. I need you to show me, God, so I can get them in line. All along, God's saying, son, I've been trying to get you in line. You don't listen. What makes you think they're going to listen to you? if you don't listen to me. You quick to put your words. You're quick to put your words on people as a self-defense. Even your loved ones. Because you want to protect your fruit. He says, would you stop all that? Let's get to the real issue. Let me sift you. See, when you're being sifted by God, you first have to be gathered. Yeah, no, y'all, this is going to hit him right here. Remember that? Go ahead. Do three stooges. Do it like that. Because it's going to come right between the eyes. We're going to block it. Block, okay? Now watch this. See, you got to be gathered before you can be sifted. So what is the trick of the enemy? It's to get you disconnected. To get you to leave the gathering. To forsake the assembling. To not to get together in corporate worship or prayer. I got this by myself. Me and God gonna work this out. No. He's going to put you together to gather to show you what's inside of you so that when your brothers and sisters happen to step on you and hurt your feelings, that's when that seed is going to come forth and say, how are you going to respond now? But if you're at home all by yourself clicking through the evangelist on TV, I'm blessed and highly favored. You'll know how blessed you really are. Get to church. Let the brethren begin to get on your nerves. Yeah, let them get on your nerves because someone getting their breakthrough and you don't like how they're shouting in church. And it's supposed to be a holy experience. You don't like how pastors always screaming. It's ha, 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 ha. I can't understand what he's saying. You need to get and gather in the sifting process. He gathers you together so you can come together so he can show you there's some stuff that's deep down inside of you. Why let the world test you? Let your brethren test you. Not purposely. So that when you're together in the gathering together, now you get tossed. How many of you like getting tossed around? No? You don't like getting tossed around? I don't know about you. There's a trampoline in the backyard of my house. I've gone on it twice. And I said, no more. I got on there. Poof. And I'm scared of heights. I saw inside my neighbor's house. Hey! Oh. So when you get tossed in the air, you're getting tossed with the people around you. You're getting tossed with people around just like you, looking for their harvest. Looking for their first fruits. Looking for the fruit of God to come forth in all their labor and all their toil and everything that they've done. But you're going to be sifted. Don't think it's just going to manifest in your life. I'm going to be a millionaire this year. I think God got the wrong address. See, if you don't prepare for what God has already told you to do, and what he's already spoken to you, that seed that he spoke and went into you, you got to prepare for it. Oh, you've got to prepare for it. It doesn't just happen. I had the Lord tell me a prophetic word to me and my family. We'd be young millionaires. Young millionaires. Before I had gray hair and receding hairline. I was a 32 back then. 40 now. Yeah, I ain't seen it come to pass. It felt like every year I was going through, I was getting older and older and older and nothing manifesting but me manifesting. You said, God! See, when you're getting sifted, God's saying, you still don't get it, do you? There's still stuff inside of you, son. And I still got to toss you up and down. But my wind, my breath will blow on you. Don't worry, not one kernel will hit the ground. You see, every seed that I've given you, that's inside of you, is going to produce more seed. It's going to produce more. So everything that's inside of you, even though you're being sifted, tossed up and down, going through so much, and then all of a sudden you feel like a storm is coming your way. And when the storm comes, I can't take it no more. I quit. God says, oh, that was that kernel that was about to hit the ground, but I caught it. I caught it. I put it right back in there with the gathering. And it's going to continue to be sifted through it all. You see, we don't like it. We think, okay, this is the year that all of my stuff is coming to me. Restoration. Oh, yeah. I'm getting all my stuff brought back to me. Really? And you ain't done nothing to prepare for it? You got to get ready. Oh, you got to get ready. Because you're going to be tossed up and down for a reason. I said, Lord, what is that reason? Why am I going to go through this? I don't want to go through this. He says, if you don't go through it, you're not going to finish it. Do not despise the small beginnings. He says, because then the end will be better than the beginning. It starts off messy, but then after the whole process, you'll see. You'll see the finished work. See, when God begins a thing, he finishes it. He don't leave it halfway. He finishes it. Not only does he finish it, he makes sure it's nice and clean and polished. It's what you do with it that matters. So continue reading on. Watch this. In verse 11 of Amos 9 says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. And the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, the mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and the hill shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I had given them, says the Lord our God. See, we're coming into that season where God says, now acceleration is coming. See, you're about to put something in the ground, that seed in the ground, but now acceleration is going to come, that now your harvest is already going to be there. That's acceleration. You can't put something in the ground, all of a sudden it's there. See, what it's saying in that scripture is that he's going to go put the seed down, and the harvest is already coming to pick up the harvest. What did he just do? He removed time. He removed time. See, in 2014, you were holding on. Oh, Lord, this is too long. Time, 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 time. Now your harvest is here. And in your harvest, because you've been through the sifting process, you've been through all the turmoil, you've been through the violent winds, you've been through everything, you've been through the gathering. Now your harvest is here. Now your harvest is here. It's going to overtake you. It's the time of the fruitfulness of God, where he begins to show you everything that you did, all your preparations, everything that you did, you'll begin to see manifest in your life. It'll come to pass. You just got to be diligent and continue after him. Don't stop. Be diligent. Seek after him. Follow after him. He will display the fruit in your life. He will display everything that you worked hard for. He will display it. But you've got to be ready for it. You have got to allow him to get deep down inside to remove that which the enemy has planted. It's a process that we go through. But the end is better than the beginning of a thing. The end is. It may not look like we got much, but I can tell you this. I got a vision. I saw something in the atmosphere. That God showed me you will take this city, son. You will have house of manna in different parts of the city. Not only will you have an English church, you'll have Spanish churches. You'll have places for people to come in and get restored. You'll have places where the homeless can come in and eat, shower, and be clothed. You will have a pantry where you can feed the people. You will have places in the city. All I got you to do right now is get you to move when I tell you to move. Be in that place. Prepare for it. Get ready for what God is about to do. He's about to release greatness. Greatness. But if you let the enemy distract you, you'll go down to the valley of, oh no, I missed it again. Oh no, I missed it again. Don't miss it. Get into that place. Let him get in there. Let him take some stuff out. It prepares you for where you're going. Are you ready for it? Stand to your feet if you would, please.